I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo! Check this out.
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Your weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock, this is where you will find safe space for the independent thinkers out there, beholden to no party, no politician, just trying to cut through the insanity in the world we're living in today. It's not easy. Not easy, is it? A quote for today is from Noam Chomsky. Governments will use whatever technology is available to combat their primary enemy, their own population. Governments will use whatever technology is available to combat their primary enemy, their own population. Amen there, Noam Chomsky. Noam Chomsky, very, very wise man. Got some leftist views. I would disagree with him on, but somebody is fairly thoughtful, so always interesting to read what he has to say anyway. I have got a great article on my Gab page about false positive tests that I read yesterday and the sheer numbers and how they could be wildly inflated. I was going to pull the story and start doing it. It's a pretty long piece, but to really kind of thoroughly understand any issue, it takes a little while to flesh it out. This is one of the weaknesses we have in the United States right now. We're kind of a headline people. We don't take in a lot of context. We don't dig deep down into something. We don't get to the root, the cause of problems. We don't go very far down. So it is, you know, and many people aren't on Gab. Not yet. I'm just sitting over there again. You know, I'm on an island here during the day, and then I'm on an island out there at Gab, but I cannot be a part of Facebook. I just cannot, in any good conscience, have a Facebook account for this show with the behavior of Facebook and the creepy tracking and everything else that's going on in Facebook. Don't do it. So anyway, I encourage people to set up a Gab account. I guess I don't use it either. I don't do social media really, but when I find something I want to direct people to on this show, I don't have a website. I just really need to just bite the bullet and set up a website for the show where I can just post whatever I want to post and people can go check it out if they want to. But this piece on false positives when it comes to COVID tests, I'm reading more and more and more about this. This was about this particular story. It's by Dr. Mike Yeadon, Y-E-A-D-O-N. So you may be able to just do an internet search for him. Dr. Mike Yeadon. He's a former CSO. I guess that's Chief Science Officer and VP of Allergy and Respiratory Research. Head with Pfizer Global R&D and co-founder of the Ziarko Pharma Limited. So the guy is actually somebody on the inside of the industry. I mean, this is what his gig is. Not a layperson like me questioning the numbers, but talks a lot about even the admitted false positives and the ratios. And when you start really doing the math, you realize, oh my gosh, we've got a problem here when it comes to false positives for coronavirus. So if you don't have Gab, you can email me. I'll send you a link to the story if you're interested in it. As I said, it's a little bit long. To really understand it, you're going to have to put in probably 10 minutes, 10 to 12 minutes maybe to read this article, maybe a little bit longer than that. I don't know. But it is a thorough explanation of a pretty complex issue. Yesterday, when it comes to coronavirus, also the CDC said it erroneously posted guidance that said virus spreads through the air, travels beyond 6 feet. That did not stop the propagandist at NBC News this morning saying that, you know, ideally, we should all stay 18 feet apart. I mean, I got to tell you, this is a tough world to live in these days and maintain your sanity and not become frustrated. I must call on my Zen side, which is just accept things as they are. Doesn't mean you don't try to change them, but there's nothing you can do that NBC and the health authorities continually report this stuff, even though they're saying that, you know, it turns out COVID may not be aerosolized. That certainly has not had any impact. I haven't heard anybody, I haven't heard Tate Reeves come out and Thomas Dobbs come out and go, oh, okay, well, let's masks, no masks, don't worry about it. We got that one wrong. Of course, we'll never hear that. But listen to this story. I mean, this is just how far we have gone. It was a gorgeous August weekend in New York City, and Andy, a college senior at New York University, NYU, decided to attend a rooftop social gathering with his roommates. Gasp. The party was consistent with New York City's Phase 4 COVID-19 guidelines, which allows events up to 50 people. Ah, that Governor Cuomo and Mayor de Blasio, how good of them. They're allowing human beings to gather in groups up to 50. 51? You're in trouble. 52? Verboten. But up to 50 people, you're okay. What it, darlings. Many attendees went maskless, but Andy says he didn't stand in close proximity to anyone other than his roommates, who were also students, and they left after a short while. But unbeknownst to Andy, whose name has been changed for this article to protect his privacy, somebody at the party posted a video of the event on social media. Boom! Another case against social media. Andy never saw this video, but he knows he was visible in it. The video was reported to the NYU administrators via the university's COVID-19 compliance system. On Sunday, August 23rd, a day after the party, NYU Director of Student Conduct, Craig Jolly, sent an email to Andy accusing him of, quote, threatening the health and safety of the NYU community. By 5 p.m. on Monday, NYU had suspended him indefinitely. To return to campus in 2021, Andy will need to write a reflection paper and beg for readmission. Although resuming his education might be impossible anyway, since he relies on full tuition scholarship that is now threatened by his disciplinary status. What the hell has happened to us as a society? And these are people in higher education. I don't know what. Now, that doesn't say a whole lot. We know the issues with higher education and some of the Marxists that are in these groups, but this is absolutely insane. I saw a story this morning, too, from NFL this weekend. As much as we dislike NFL, I'm going to make a confession right now. I watched the Raiders-Saints game last night. I like the Saints. I like Drew Brees. I've enjoyed watching the Saints over the year, but I was always a Raiders fan, particularly the 1970s, early 80s Raiders. John Matusak, Kenny Stabler, Mark Van Egan, Dave Casper. Oh, man. 1970s. See, that's kind of my rebel side. Kind of that get in the trenches, fight nasty type stuff. Yeah, that's where this comes from. I guess I've always been wired this way. I was just a little kid when I was collecting my old Oakland Raiders in the 70s cards, while everybody else was Cowboys fans, Saints fans around here, I was always an Oakland Raiders fan. But I got to tell you, the Las Vegas Raiders, I may become a fan. They played a good game last night, but you know, it's a fresh start for the team. And I kind of feel like if I get on the bandwagon and I start liking the Raiders, then I will be able to, at some point, to justify a trip out to Las Vegas with some friends. I got a couple other Raiders fans, friends, and it'll give us an excuse to go to Las Vegas for a weekend. So anyway, they reported this morning three NFL coaches. I don't remember who they were. I guess the coach of Pete Carroll or whatever of the Seattle Seahawks was one of them. Three coaches got fined for not wearing their masks on the sidelines. $100,000 personally. $100,000 for the three coaches for not wearing their mask adequately during the game. $250,000 fine for the teams. This is at a sporting event where every single person out there is tested. Last I heard, it's essentially daily they get tests. Athletes are obviously running around without masks and huffing and puffing and tackling each other and wrestling with each other on the ground and going into giant piles of humanity as they scramble for a loose ball. But three coaches on the sidelines weren't wearing masks, and they are going to be subject to a $100,000 personal fine and a $250,000 fine for the team. I know those guys make a lot of money, but I, you know, you would really hope that might wake some people up. And I'm going to bring one thing up about this, though. I was watching a Trump thing the other day, one of his speeches, or I can't remember if it's in this particular thing. Trump talks a lot. To his credit, I mean, you don't want to talk about a transparent president to the media. Good grief. This is why I don't understand why he needs any campaign cash. Does he still seriously need to run ads at this point? The guy has sucked all of the air out of the room for almost 4 years now. Well, for 4 years, ever since he announced. So are people really kind of unsure on who Donald Trump is at this point? But I saw something the other day where Trump was asked about coronavirus, as he always is, and his reaction to it. And yes, all the ridiculous stuff of the Woodward book and all that. But Trump keeps bringing up the swine flu and the botched reaction to the swine flu by the Obama and Biden administration. This apparently is some kind of a talking point the Trump campaign is rolling out. Does this resonate with anybody out there? My kids got sick during the swine flu. I don't know. I didn't have them tested. I don't know if they actually had the swine flu, but they got a pretty tough flu during that period. But Trump will go on and on about how Obama really botched it and some needless things happen. And I don't doubt it necessarily. I tell you all the time, government sucks at everything it does. Every single thing the government touches turns to crap. So whatever they tried to do in reaction to swine flu, I'm sure it was bad. To that point. But I'm always kind of stunned that Donald Trump brings up Obama's reaction to swine flu in the midst of coronavirus, because while Obama and Biden might have totally screwed the pooch on swine flu, let me tell you what they didn't do. They didn't hold press conferences and let the directors of the NIH and the CDC force us all to stay home and shut down the economy. They didn't cost us 50 million jobs by creating a completely hysterical population. They didn't destroy 100,000 businesses. So I'm sure that Obama's reaction to swine flu was bad, and the CDC's was bad, and the FDA's was bad, and Joe Biden's was bad. I'm absolutely sure. But is Trump really seriously trying to equate these two things? A lot of people give Donald Trump a pass for the lockdowns because he said he wants to open back up and he's against these things and he tells states to open back up. But still, I don't give him a complete pass on that. He gave a podium to Anthony Fauci for 3 months to whip this entire country into a hysteria about this thing that is still lingering today. And they're still talking. Anthony Fauci is still talking. Deborah Birx is still talking. It is informing people like Thomas Dobbs here in Mississippi and all around the country, other health authorities around that are taking their cues from these leaders in the Trump administration. Anthony Fauci was there during the Obama-Biden administration. He's been a career bureaucrat, profiteer off of disease in Washington, D.C. for something like 40 years. He was there during the Obama administration. I'm no fan of Obama. I don't think you've just tuned into some left-wing radio show, but at least Obama didn't give Anthony Fauci the podium during swine flu and tell everybody to stay at home for 15 days that turned into 6 months. What a horrible talking point. I saw this the other day and I thought, is he seriously still talking about Obama's reaction to the swine flu? Well, we've got 30 million people still on unemployment and we're looking at the twindemic coming down. They're trying to freak us out about. Anyway, obviously that triggered a little something in me, didn't it? All right, when I come back, Babylon Bee. I've got a headline from Babylon Bee. Babylon Bee to me is at this point a national treasure. Some of the most clever guys I've ever seen. I'd like to just go spend a day in the offices of Babylon Bee. Great headline. And then I'm going to talk a little bit about we're starting to see. I talked a lot yesterday about the hypocrisy we're seeing on both sides when it comes to this seating a new Supreme Court justice. Pretty fascinating stuff. Now the talking points are rolling in on how they're trying to justify. Both sides are trying to justify their hypocrisy. I wish they would just come out and say, hey, we're lying scumbags. We're opportunists. We do whatever we want to do. We're never honest with anybody. I would at least give them some respect for that because I understand why the Republicans want to fill a seat and why the Democrats want to oppose it. But they won't do that because they think we are so stupid. Just wait till you hear these excuses. You may have already heard them, but I'm going to highlight them here. Stay with me.
Coming to your town, well, If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller, and Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller, and Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at DanksMillerCorey.com.
The Babylon Bee, I mean, what a great time it is to work at the Babylon Bee. If you've not seen this site, I really do encourage you. If you are a political junkie, obviously if you're listening to political talk radio, you're kind of interested in the topic, it can be incredibly maddening. It really can be. Make sure that you're including the Babylon Bee. I don't do whatever you need to do, Twitter, or just check their webpage every now and then, because they bring much-needed comic relief to what is quite literally a pretty tragic time in United States history. Babylon Bee read a headline yesterday. Genius Trump nominates Joe Biden to Supreme Court, forcing Dems to accuse him of sexual assault. I really imagine kind of the writer's room at Babylon Bee. I may be totally off base. This may be all artificially intelligence generated at this point. Who knows? But I imagine them just kicking around. I mean, they've got so much to work with, absolutely so much to work with, particularly when you look at the Biden campaign, the Trump campaign, the wackiness that's going on in the left between Nancy Pelosi and the rest of them. They've got a ton of material. It's just got to be. It is the halcyon days at the Babylon Bee these days. But again, genius Trump nominates Joe Biden to Supreme Court, forcing the Democrats to accuse him of sexual assault. Oh, my gosh. It's fantastic. I'm enjoying watching, again, the American pastime now is no longer baseball. No, it's not football or college football or basketball. The national pastime in the United States now at the personal level and political level is hypocrisy. It is something we are fine-tuning it at this point. There's so much of it flying around. So the hypocrisy of each side doing a complete 180, a complete flip-flop on the idea of putting in a new Supreme Court justice in the last year of a presidential term is pretty fascinating to watch. This is always interesting, too. It's kind of like when you see a kid. Yeah, you put some cookies out on the counter, some chocolate chip cookies. You walk in, the kid's got chocolate all over their mouth and on their hands, and you ask them if they ate the cookies, and they say no. I mean, it's that transparent of a lie when you hear these politicians open their pie holes, yet they continue to do it. It's psychopathic. It is sociopathic. What is it? It is what's the term for a chronic liar? Is it politician? Anyway, they're both trying to do their little flip-flop to justify it. They just cannot come out and go, look, the Republicans should just say, look, in 2016 we were trying to block another liberal Supreme Court justice, because we all know that's what they were doing. And they should say, this time it's to our benefit to get a Supreme Court, so we're doing that now. This is what politics, that they should just say that. Instead, here's the best they can do. The Republicans are saying this. They're saying, don't worry, I'm going to get to the Democrats. They're doing the exact same thing. The Republicans say, it's different this time because the GOP and the president are the same party. Well, why didn't Mitch McConnell just allow a down vote on Merrick Garland back in Obama's term? Why didn't he just put it to a vote? The Republicans had the votes. They could have just voted him down and been done and gotten this issue off the table. Of course not. No, they say now it's because the GOP and the president are the same party. That's what makes this different. And then like Lindsey Graham, he's really scrambling because he's the one that really set the trap for himself, where he said, use my words against me. I will not vote, you know. He gave his little preening speech back in 2016 saying, if we do this, we cannot put a Supreme Court justice up for nomination in the last year of Trump's term. If one comes up in 2020, I will not vote for it, and you can take that to the bank. Now Lindsey Graham has grasped at this straw. He's changed his mind because of the treatment of Kavanaugh. I bet that's going to be a popular one. That's going to resonate with a lot of people. You're going to use that if you go out when one of your Democrat friends or someone accuses you of hypocrisy. A lot of people will use it. Yeah, but what they did to look, if someone catches your party, whether you're Democrat or Republican, and they accuse your party of hypocrisy, don't play the political game and try to justify it or lie about it or any of that stuff. Just go, yeah, they're all scumbags. It's just they're my scumbags, and I'm going to get, you know, this will give me a win by getting another conservative justice. Look, I'm for another conservative justice on the Supreme Court. For whatever good the Supreme Court is, I talked a lot yesterday about the fact I'm really not quite so sure exactly what a safeguard to our Constitution the Supreme Court's been. I listed off for about an hour things that I thought were wildly unconstitutional, even with a conservative Supreme Court. But anyway, don't let politicians turn you in to a liar or a hypocrite or someone who's disingenuous. You don't have to lie for them. You could. It's better. It's more honest to just laugh because you're not convincing anybody. Here's what the Democrats have done. The Democrats are saying, because obviously they're flipped, having to do a complete 180 now too and flip-flop, and now they say, oh, no, you don't, you know. They're saying exactly the opposite of what they said in 2016. So now one of theirs is people have already started to vote. What? 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 So? Back in 2016, I'm sure people had made up their minds on whether they were going to vote for a Donald Trump or a Hillary Clinton. A lot of people had anyway. A lot of people hated Hillary Clinton. Maybe a few people. The jury was still out on whether or not they'd pull a trigger for Trump. He was still in the infancy of his campaign. But a lot of people had already made up their minds. So the Democrats say, well, people have already started to vote. That's the difference this time. Some of them have said, well, Trump has just so made this... made the whole political atmosphere so toxic that it's just not, he's just not capable of doing this. I mean, whatever gets you through the nights. And my favorite, my personal favorite, it was Ruth Bader Ginsburg's dying wish. She said right before she went, you can imagine her with her feeble 87-year-old hand motioning someone to the bed, come closer, come closer. And she used the word fervent. I don't know. I'm sure she was an intellectual, so maybe there is a scenario where an intellectual at their dying breath somehow utters the word fervent. I think that's the first time I've ever used it in my entire life. I'm 53 years old. You just heard the first time I've ever used the word fervent, but apparently she was at the ready for a dying 87-year-old Supreme Court justice. It was her fervent wish that they not replace her before the election. I got to tell you, ladies out there, I'm single, and my dying mother's final wish was that her son find an incredibly attractive, incredibly wealthy, super sweet woman to be with her son. So take that under advisement. If you're single out there, ladies, attractive lady and worth a lot of money, it was my mother's dying wish. I don't know. We can't really fight against that. Yep, had a caller. I guess they bailed on me. Anyway, don't go out and repeat these talking points. Just admit the hypocrisy of your own party. Just say, they're scumbags. There's no doubt about it. They are scumbags. The last thing I'm going to do is carry any water for a politician and their lame excuses. Let's see if I can get my caller here. Hey, caller, are you with me? Yep. All right, try again in just a second. I got to take a break anyway. If you got want to call, 601-879-0002. I'll be right back. Mike Madison here. Have you heard about Lee Garland's latest offer? You know, he's the real estate agent with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance who will guarantee the sale of your home. Well, he's up the ante once again, and not only will he guarantee the sale, but he wants the opportunity to offer you cash before you ever even place it on the market. That's right. Lee Garland with the Moving On team at RE/MAX Alliance is and represents cash buyers who are willing to buy your home as is today.
Can you imagine not having to jump through a bunch of hoops, not having to scramble around to meet the buyer's needs, and not having to do repairs for some crazy home inspection? If so, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424 for more details on his cash offer and or guaranteed sale. Again, call Lee Garland at 601-983-1130, 601-983-1130 or 601-941-2424.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much. You tell me that you love me so.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me. Phone number here, 601-879-0002. I think one of the best things about, I almost said this accidentally, the best thing about the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. What I mean to say is the best thing about the idea that Trump has this seat to fill, the Republicans control the Senate, it doesn't look like there's anything the Democrats can do to stop him from sitting this. It's finally given Trump rallies, it's given the people something they can chant that is actually going to come true. I think that's a positive. There's been many, many, many chants during the Trump campaign rallies, both in 2016 for the last 4 years and now going into the 2020 elections. What are they? Let's say we've had a build that wall. Hadn't happened. I kind of said it on day one. It wasn't ever going to happen. I'm not trying to be. It's just not going to happen. I mean, that's all I can say. And it hasn't happened. A lot of people say, it's almost finished. I don't know. There's no evidence of that. But so build that wall. You had drain the swamp. Swamp is just as sticky and stagnant and deep as it's ever been. And then you had lock her up. I think those were the three chants. Am I missing anything? I think those were the three chants of things that were never, ever going to actually happen. Fill that seat. That's going to happen. Now, you won't get to use it for very long because, fortunately, I guess, is a better term. The seat will be filled, and that will be off of the table, and maybe there'll be some others, but I don't know. I think that's good. I heard a campaign rally not that long ago where they were still doing lock her up, still hanging in there with locking Hillary Clinton up. I got to tell you, that ship has sailed, people. I hope you're not clinging to that. If you're clinging to the locking up of Hillary Clinton, you're probably clinging to the Iraqi dinar revaluing at some point in the near future. I was watching a Joe Biden speech. Look, I turned on the news yesterday and Joe Biden was giving a speech and I thought, I've heard this before. And then I looked at the screen and it said live. I had a clip. I can't find it now. Trump did a pretty funny little thing the other day where to quote him, he said, I don't know what they do with Joe Biden. They give him a big shot in the ass and then send him out, you know, insinuating that he's on some level of drugs. I totally believe Donald Trump is correct on that. I think that they are having to somehow juice Joe Biden to get him through more than 2 to 3 minutes. I played a clip yesterday. It was in this, where Joe Biden was saying in 2016 that Merrick Garland should have a vote in the Senate. It's responsible for them, you know, taking the exact opposite of what he's doing right now. It was kind of striking to me as I watched clips of Joe Biden from 2016 weighing in on the Supreme Court thing. To look at Joe Biden speak in 2016 versus 2020 shows you how rapid his mental decline has been. And I think it's probably even over the last year, it feels like I see some difference. And that's tragic. That happens to a lot of older people. So it's not surprising. It's not really anything out of the ordinary. It's just to see him stand behind a microphone and have to speak extemporaneously from 2016 to 2020, it's really very evident exactly how much decline he's had. But he was giving the same speech. I was watching it, and here's what he does. It's the it's about looking your – I can't believe I can't remember this. I've heard it so many times. Looking your child in the face. He's talking about the economy and having good paying jobs. It's about looking your child in the face and telling him, it's going to be all right, baby. It's going to be all right. He says it with the same inflection and everything. So obviously what's happened is, and why Joe Biden doesn't take any questions, he's just rehearsed this speech. I heard him do something the other day for 10 or 15 minutes. He sounded pretty coherent, but what it was just actually just rehearsed stuff. Donald Trump, look, I'm equal opportunity here. I don't belong to a party. I don't worship any politician. Donald Trump has got his own talking points, too, that he brings up constantly over and over and over again. But at least, you know, with a little riffing, a little bit of off-script stuff, he adds a little color to it. Joe Biden is literally, I use that word so carefully, literally reading the same speech over and over and over again, and it's going as different campaign stops. Ugh. Every day I dislike politicians just a tiny bit more. Got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
Yes, I'm with you.
Hey, how are you? How are you?
Yeah, I was listening to you with your disrespectful attitude toward Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who was the top of her law class, who was discriminated against as a woman and because of her religion. But, you know, the thing about you and all the rest of them on the right, you never acknowledge that discrimination, which is baked into our system, is real. She overcame all of that, but you never acknowledge who she is.
I don't think I was really very disrespectful to her.
Great woman has been, and I mean, you're just on this tirade. The woman not even buried yet, and you're so disrespectful.
What did I say?
And you're in the South.
Okay, you got to take a breath. This is the problem with your phone calls, is you take a breath because I'm asking you a question. What did I say that was disrespectful to Ruth Bader Ginsburg?
I mean, your whole tirade, it shows no respect for...
What did I say about her?
I mean, forget the fact that you don't agree with her politically. I mean, the woman is dead. She's lived her life. She can't defend herself. But yeah, you done moved on politically as though she'd been buried. The woman ain't even been buried yet.
I'm just asking you what I said about her.
Why was she discriminated against? Why was it okay for white America to discriminate against her? Why was it okay?
To be honest with you, I don't know what she overcome. I don't denigrate anything she accomplished. She ended up being one of the most powerful people in the country. Obviously, she accomplished a great deal to get to that point. My thing is, I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't denigrate. I don't think in 2 days since she's died, I don't think I've said anything negative about Ruth Bader Ginsburg, about her. I've said a lot about the process.
That's the first thing I ever said. You even said it ain't good about. Oh, she was a great woman. I mean, all you've talked about is the fact that she was a liberal.
I think you've called the wrong show.
We got a bunch of right-wing kooks out here.
I think you've called the wrong show. Those words have not come out of my mouth.
I was just listening to you. That's why I called twice. I mean, I'm listening to you. The woman's not even dead. I mean, the woman ain't buried. But one question that you failed to answer, why in America, this great country, all people are created equal, why was she discriminated against when she graduated Columbia Law School? Why was she discriminated against?
Ruth Bader Ginsburg's old, so I'm going to assume she came out of law school in the 50s or 60s. There was a lot more discrimination going on there than there is now, and a lot of people had to overcome it to get where they are.
Why would they have to overcome it is what I want you to answer.
Because there was discrimination.
Black people had to overcome it. White folks hadn't had to deal with anything
other than
I'm white.
Oh. Seriously.
I mean, you're sitting there like,
do you not know any white people? Do you not know any white people in real life?
Man, I got a lot of good friends that are white. But this systematic racism that you failed to acknowledge, this woman overcame a lot. She's the top of her class and nobody will hire her. What was that?
All of the white people that you know in your life have never had to overcome anything? They all had their entire life handed to them?
No, they haven't.
Okay,
you
well then.
You have not had to been denied a job because you're white. You haven't been denied a job because you happen to be white. I mean, you get the job because you're white. I mean, that's the reality of America.
Well,
black people couldn't get hired with the Jackson Fire Department in 1960. Why was that?
Because we were crappy run by a bunch of crappy racists back then. I mean,
why could a police in Jackson, Mississippi get a job with a Jackson Police Department in 1960?
Here's why it's difficult to have a conversation about this stuff right now is because I would imagine that people listening to this show say, this is not 1960. And I don't think, I don't know a single person.
Yes, it is. That's why Black Lives Matter is going on, because ain't a doggone thing changed. Y'all weaponize the police to attack black folks, weaponize the police. Every time you have a black guy walking in your neighborhood, you call the police.
Dude, I got to tell you, that's not the reality. I'm objective.
That's the reality for black folks. You don't understand. You're white. You ain't worried about nobody beating you upside the head or shooting you 15 times to use and write a report that, he attacked me. You're not worried about the police.
Oh, no. I've told the story before of me riding around with
the police.
All right.
You're not worried about your child getting beat on.
I got to tell you. We'd have an interesting conversation with you if you actually made a point and then you'd let me say something. Look, I've been in a car with four other white guys. I went to Murrah High School, and I was driving down there by there one night. The five of us, just white kids, not doing anything wrong, no traffic violations, nothing. About 6:30 at night, I saw a bunch of cop cars surround our car. As soon as I pulled through the intersection, boop, they pulled us all over, pulled us out of the car. You know why? Because two of the guys in the back seat had long hair. That's what I suspect. But they also just looked at a car full of white idiot teenagers, and they just figured we were up to something wrong. It pulled us over, and I ended up getting arrested because I sprayed the cop with beer, but that's another part of the story. The bottom line is, look, everybody has to overcome things.
They didn't shoot you.
They don't shoot every black person they pull over either.
Your story is different from black folks. They will shoot the black folks and say, hey, he tried to tag me.
That is, the statistics don't bear out what you're saying. Do you know how many interactions between, look, you're talking to a libertarian guy. You want me to do an entire show about police brutality? I'll do it. I talked about some yesterday. There was a black man that was killed in the back of a car because he wouldn't give up his driver's license. He was a passenger in the car, and it was a ride share. The rideshare driver's taillight was out. The cop wanted the ID of the guy who was a passenger, and he said, why do you need my ID? The cops had no business asking him for his ID. I admit there's police overreach there. But to act like there's some kind of fatwa out there against black people by the police, I think the number of unarmed black men last year killed was like 9 or 12. You are right. People are getting shot 15 times. That was in Chicago this weekend. That's what you got to see. You got to look through other people's eyes when you start thinking these things through. At least when you come to a radio show with an argument about it, you need to be able to see through other people's eyes. You're bringing up 1960, man. I got to tell you, I graduated from Murrah High School in 1985. We didn't have any racial problems. That stuff was behind us then. It's being dredged up now, and it's making things worse.
Behind us. And we couldn't even get a job with the city of Jackson. But you say it is behind us.
You couldn't get a job with the city of Jackson when?
Why don't you talk to some black folks who were there and quit using your perspective?
Look, no, I'll
talk to the black folks about what was going on. No, you didn't.
Look.
Yeah, you're an authority on the radio. And you sit here and
all right, I'm about to cut you off. You got about 3 seconds to give me a second to talk here. You are sitting there saying that nothing has changed. Why can't a black person get hired with the city of Jackson? I deal with the city of Jackson. It's almost all black now. So things have changed.
I said Ruth Bader Ginsburg graduated tops in her class, but nobody hired her. Why?
Because they were probably...
She was a Jewish woman.
Because they were discriminating against her.
Look. Why would they discriminate against her?
All right. Hey, I appreciate it. I'd love to talk to you. I'd have you in the studio if I thought I could get a word in edgewise. But anyway, I appreciate it. I got to go to a quick break. I'll be right back. Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone,
God takes your soul. You're on your own.
All right, I got to tell you, Vince, you light up the phones, man. You're good for radio. If there was just a little bit of back and forth there, I got to tell you, if you just give me a second, if you'd let a little something in, here's the problem in a hyper-politicized world, and here's the problem I see kind of across the board. Ain't nobody listening. Nobody's listening. Everybody's just ready for the next person to shut up so they can say what they were going to say. There's no reaction. There's no back and forth. There's just, I got to get my points out, and then I'm going to pause for a second, and you spit out your talking points at me, and then I'm going to spit some back at you. Look, you're not going to find much of anybody out there, anybody that's not a complete jackass. You're not going to find anybody out there that doesn't look at 1960 and go, holy crap. We had some pretty bad policies back then. I talked about it the other day. I've watched some of these movies documentaries from the 1960s where I watched some of the riots. The reason I watched them was I wanted to see how bad it was in the 1960s so that it made me feel better that maybe we'll get through this and get on the other side of it, because obviously we made it past the 1960s riots. But I tell you, I watched some of those films from the 1960s. One in particular really stood out to me. It was when when the first black students were going to the University of Alabama. And the black students were dressed, coat, tie. The girl that was there had like the white sweater over her shoulders, over a dress. She might have even been wearing little white gloves, you know, kind of the very nice look that from the 1960s. And on the side of these two black students trying to walk into a building, there were just lines of white people just screaming at them, and there were what looked like sorority girls, white sorority girls. You would think in the South they're all genteel. They were just screaming and kind of spitting at these people. And I think a lot of us should remember that happened, but it does us no good to make it a version of today, because today's not like that. You know, Morgan Freeman, I can't remember his exact quote, and I was talking on the phone during the break. I didn't look it up, but Morgan Freeman basically said, look, if you want to help the race situation in this country, can we please we got to stop talking about it. Man, everybody's got their challenges. I tell you what, I'm white, been around a lot of white people, graduated. I went to public schools. I've worked with a lot of blacks and whites. I mean, you're not going to find anybody that I've worked with that's either white or black that ever said I'm a jerk or a racist or anything like that. We cooperate and get things done. But I know a lot of white people can overcome a lot of challenges, myself personally. And, man, I had some advantages. You know, I mean, a lot of the obstacles that I've had to overcome in my life, a lot of them were self-imposed. I made such a dumb decision here or a dumb decision there. I screwed myself. Then I had to fix it. And then sometimes unlucky things happen. You have to fix it. But I don't blame anybody for any of it. I mean, some of it's just happenstance. And sometimes it involved other people did things that did not work out to my benefit. But good Lord, if I was still talking about it. I tell you, Vince, I would have you in the studio sitting across the table from me if I thought you'd listen to a single thing and do a give and take. Because I think we could come to some agreements. Because I'm not some Republican here. That's just not me. I'm not trying to convince anybody to leave the Democratic Party. I'm going to talk a little bit about liberalism in just a second, because I'm probably a classical liberal. We're going to talk about that definition coming up, too. I think Vince and I would probably find some core beliefs that we hold similarly. Then where we diverge is what you do about it, or where we stand now. But I got to tell you, one thing that I find sad is that there's a whole community, particularly of black men, who are upset because an 87-year-old Jewish woman died, and that's where your strength was. That's not good. Be right back.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me today. What did I say? Boy, Vince, this show's not the biggest call-in show. I talk about a lot of different stuff. I have a theory on some of the reason I don't get a ton of calls on things. It's because I bring up things that people really don't often consider. I'm not talking points radio, and I don't mean that insulting in any way, but there's a lot of ideas, I think, that are rattling around in people's heads, a lot of things in the political world right now where people are just conditioned to think certain things, and I challenge a lot of that stuff. I hope I make people think about it, but it's not as easy to take a side on my show as it is on traditional Republican or Democrat talking point radio, because I come at a lot of issues from some really weird ways. But anyway, I found the key to getting calls is just give Vince about 5 minutes on the line. he's a regular on the Kim Wade Show. It's so funny when I run into the really dogmatic people on any side. I've run into people who were very pro-war. They really want to exercise raw American power around the world because we've got it. And I've talked to many of those people over the years and been able to ask a couple of questions to just kind of show what, at least that I believe, that does not make us safer. And it's not, you know, it certainly isn't a Christian ethic to go around and bomb other countries. I always feel like I can get to somebody, if you ask questions and kind of get inside and try to find where you've got some common ideas and then try to get them to answer some questions that lead to some logical conclusions, if that matters. I don't know I could do that. It's probably delusional to think there are some people you just cannot reach, and, you know, he may be one of them. I'm not sure. Anyway, I got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
Yes, I am.
How are
and
you?
I am really enjoying your show.
Oh, thanks.
I appreciate it. I am African-American, and that caller that you just had concerning various issues, police and Black Lives Matter, I disagree with that caller to a degree. We do matter. I take that back. But I want to make this point. My heart breaks when there is what they call police brutality.
Me too.
But this Black Lives Matter movement, again, I'm African American, is hypocritical, because in that agenda they should be talking about why are we as Black individuals not getting along, and we have in our own communities killing each other left and right?
Yeah, it seems pretty obvious.
And have us afraid to go in our community stores or here or there. And that, therefore, the agenda should be incorporated with, we need to educate ourselves in order to get these jobs, and we need to be more proactive humanity to one another. And Black and the police, there's going to be some isolated cases in concerning polices, and that means that if we did not have the polices, we would have anarchy in our communities further and in this country.
Yeah, you probably won't find anybody on conservative talk radio that will be more upset with police. I think we are over-policed as a people. There's too many interactions between the police. I do not ever look at a police encounter and try to justify what the police did, because I think there's a lot of overreach and I think they're bad cops. That being said, you're right. The idea of defunding them across the board is insane. I have a question for you, though.
Yes.
Why do you think, again, I'm a graduate of public school. My entire working life, I've worked in offices of Blacks and whites. The Black community strikes me, again, I'm a white guy, grew up in a middle class white neighborhood, but a lot of interactions with Black people. Very strong, and to in my impression, stronger family ties in a lot of cases than I even see the white community, particularly when it comes to extended families. When I look at the black community and people that I know, they have a lot of family gatherings, very family-centric, that really take care of each other. I know that the religious side of the black community is very powerful. A lot of black people go to church. The churches are very strong in the black community. Why has there not been leadership, do you think, in cities, particularly the inner cities around the country? Why has there not been leadership to kind of call these things to attention and go, look, we need to start ostracizing these people that are doing the violence. We need to start ostracizing and changing this culture from within, because obviously, and, you know, I don't like to really talk about race, to be honest with you. It's not a thing that's on my mind that much, but I understand it's an issue. If they've been sitting around waiting for politicians to fix this for the last 40 years, it should be apparent by now they're not going to fix it.
Right.
So
right.
Is there just not the leadership in the black community to do that? Or are they not being heard? Or are the wrong people being heard? What's the problem?
Well, I think the leadership has become more involved in materialistic concept more so than they have the humanity.
Yeah.
I think it's just a front they put on that the Christian leadership or the maybe be it the powers to be in the black community, they put on a persona that we are wholeheartedly concerned about our people and these different communities and these different issues. But I think everything has gotten away, too much has gotten away from family unity and love our neighbor, and be more concerned about one another.
Yeah, we're missing that across the spectrum, white, black, brown, it doesn't matter. We've lost a lot of humanity in the society. It's gotten worse in the past few years. I think I'm blaming social media myself. But
exactly.
But yeah, I mean, well, you know, you talk about Black Lives Matter, and it is just so obvious to anybody that looks at it from the outside. I'm not a member of Black Lives Matter, and I'm not a black person. But if you look at it from the outside and you start talking about the violence that we see in Chicago and Baltimore, St. Louis
That's
has
right.
got record stuff right now. It is just, I mean, I'm sorry to anybody who's involved in Black Lives Matter. I'm just being honest with you. It is one of the most obvious questions that white people or anybody outside of Black Lives Matter, it's our most obvious question. Why aren't you doing something about where the real deaths are if that's what your goal is?
That's one of my main points.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's my main point.
Well,
again, my heart breaks and I cry for those that have died from what is called police brutality. But again, there's always more to the issue than presented.
Right.
And I don't see enough on the agenda presented in regards to, well, we have to try and come together as people and love one another and stop. Every day you look on the news,
it doesn't seem to be happening.
A black male has killed another black male.
Yeah.
I got to say it. I'd be remiss.
Yeah. Right. And, so, like I say, I mean, I just look at this. I look at the black community. I see what seems to be powerful, which is, you know, families and churches, to not be able to kind of get over that hurdle and start. Because always in these communities, this is the same in the white community. Our problems, the troublemakers, the people that are committing violence are really a small sliver of our groups. I mean, the vast majority of people, I don't know what the percentage is, but 98% of people just want to go about live their lives. They want to interact with people at the grocery store and be friendly and get home and enjoy their families and save a few dollars and, you know, and live a good life. That's what everybody's, but it's these loudest people on both sides and that are the violence and causing all of the problems. And Black Lives Matter, it's really such a small sliver when you look at the core of that group, of the overall black community in this country.
That's true.
Yeah, they're just so loud.
It's so loud, and I think it's just unorganized. It's not only thing I can say. I have to reiterate that point. They're not focusing on entire comprehensive list of issues.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot to unpack. I mean, this didn't, you know.
Right.
Yeah, it's been
right.
years and years of bad leadership across the board, bad policies enacted. I mean, there's just so much to undo. But the bottom line is, I mean, at some point, people have just got to realize we can't, if it's not working, blaming people hasn't worked for 40 years. we need to start looking inward and get around them. My whole theory about this is, and it's kind of tough to talk about race as a white guy on the radio, middle-aged white guy, but there's just a-holes everywhere, and you got to work your way around them. I've run into them in careers before. I'm progressing up something, and then I run into a boss that's just an a-hole, and I got to figure either a way around them, or I got to go find another opportunity, or whatever. You know, we run into people like that, and the most empowering thing is to, by yourself, get around them, get over them, or get through them, not sit around and wait for somebody else to fix it for you.
That's the bottom line right there, and I enjoy the how you educate us concerning the Supreme Court leader that died. Yes, I enjoyed that, and facts are facts, and you can't get around that.
We do facts here for sure. Well, I really do appreciate it. I thank you so much for calling today.
I do appreciate talking with you, and you take care.
You too. You. Thanks so much. Bye-bye. All right, you know what that was? It was a normal human interaction between two people of different races. It goes on every day, all day, and it's what about 98% of the people out there want to happen. I've had those interactions with people of all stripes, of all colors, of all sizes. It doesn't matter. Man, the fact that we are led by either groups, and on the left, a lot of radical groups, but the right has their people that try to stir up stuff too. The fact we're led by politicians to somehow play identity politics and label us all as groups and pit us against each other is incredibly sad, because that's just not anybody. I remember I did jury duty up in Canton a few years ago. It really struck me that this was, I think originally it was 15 people. I think we lost a couple when didn't need the alternates towards the end of this thing. But there were young, old, white, black, male, female in this room. And we all came in there, and people were kind of pleasant, but we didn't, you know, none of us knew each other. So room of total strangers. It's one of those few times where, you know, you're not there with a spouse or with your group, you know, in a restaurant or somewhere else. I mean, it's you, and you don't know anybody else in that room. And I just watched we were there for 3 or 4 days. And over the 3 or 4 days, we started going out to eat lunch together, and we were just chatting, and we were just laughing together and talking because we were, you know, in the jury room for some period of time. And that's what people do. I don't know how much everybody else made. I don't know what they did. I don't know what they thought about politics. This was before the age of Trump, so wouldn't have known. You know what I mean? It was just 15 people that were plucked out of society and stuck in a room together. There was no screaming. There was no hatred. There was no animosity. There was no desire by anybody to start anything with anybody. We all just kind of warmed up to each other like human beings did. We ended up talking, ended up going out to eat lunch together, and then we moved on our way. And that's what society is. Again, as Morgan Freeman says, the best thing we can do for race in this is stop talking about it. This idea, if I hear this word, conversation again, have we not conversed enough? I'm not saying there's not still problems that need to be fixed, but the people who are trying to lead the, air quotes here in the studio, conversations, have no desire to fix anything, because as soon as it's fixed, they're out of a job. Be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag, and now's the perfect time to contact a Complete Flag Source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a Complete Flag Source has all of the right brackets. Visit a Complete Flag Source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I like having guests in the studio. I've been looking for a socialist. At one point, I tracked down a car with some socialist website stuff on it that seemed local, and I lost it. I was going to try to track it down, try to have a socialist in the studio with me, because here's the thing, and I'm about to really kind of go hardcore bash on the left about a couple of things. So, I think a lot of people on the left are mostly, most of the people I know, because I know so many good liberals, I'm one of the few people you'll hear say that. Michael Savage has said for years that liberalism is a mental disease. And I never really liked that. I know it's a very good thing for talk radio, and I'm sure a lot of people kind of subscribe to that. But I've known so many good liberals. Still to this day, I spent 5 hours on the phone with a Democrat on Sunday. They're not insane. They have some different views. And typically what I find in good-hearted liberals and people on the left, and now look, what I'm going to talk about in a few minutes is the people who are not good-hearted. There's a lot of those too. The left is chock-a-block full of just absolute unbridled hate right now. It's going to get them nowhere. It's really almost comical that with every single action by those on the left who want to lash out, you're actually creating Trump supporters, which is, but it's not my goal to, you know, I'm not here trying to recruit Republicans or Trump supporters. I got my problems with the Republicans and the Trump supporters. But the displays of hate and anger out there are actually creating more people in the opposite camp. It's this boomerang effect. The left is just really masterminded over the last 3 to 4 years. But most of the good liberals, and here's what I think is a good-hearted liberal, is somebody who wants to see people insured, wants to see the homeless taken off the streets, wants to see discrimination go away, wants to see all of these bad things in society that human beings have to deal with. They want to see them gone. That's kind of at the core of them. Where I, and really probably all of us share those ideas. None of us want people to be homeless. None of us want, it doesn't even benefit any of us. All of us want these social ills taken care of. To me, where me and my good liberal friends diverge is when they say that's why you need to take money from the rich and give it to the government, and they're going to fix it. And it's so easy to sit down with a honest liberal, a good-hearted, honest liberal, and say, I mean, do you really not think they've tried enough things through the government? Because when you see, you know, during the hurricanes, during coronavirus, boy, the news is chock-a-block full with people helping each other. That's one of the beautiful things about these crises. I swear to you, I don't think any of them have been government programs. It's like these five kids up in Kansas who started some food thing. They realized potato farmers weren't able to sell all their potatoes, and people were going to food banks, were needing more food, so somehow they went out there and connected the potato farmers with the food banks. And for the last 6 months, these kids, I mean, this is an actual story. I can't remember if it was actually potatoes. They've expanded that to a bunch of different growers. But it's these individual people who see a problem and see some sadness, see some tragedy, and they jump in to fix it. It's almost all on the interpersonal level. It's churches. It's charities. It is individuals making a difference with people. It's almost never the government that's effective at doing any of this. So if I can get in front of a rational, honest, good-hearted liberal, it's a great conversation. And we may leave, and they might not be convinced. I'm not the most convincing guy in the world. But I want to give them something to think about because I have the same core beliefs as a lot of liberals. I'm a very compassionate person, and I don't say that to, like, toot my horn. It's almost a weakness of mine. But when I see people being beat up, when I see people being abused, I want to jump into that fray. I've had my nose broken twice in two fights. I never started a fight, but friends of mine were getting beat up, and I jumped in. I was not real effective. I left both instances with a broken nose, but that's just kind of who I am. It's why I do this show as a libertarian, to show everybody that the same system's screwing you. You're all getting screwed by the Federal Reserve. You're all getting screwed by our federal government. These politicians don't care about you. They don't care about you. I mean, they do right now for the next 45 days because they need a few votes. They need you to show up. They need you to fill some gas in your car, get off your couch, go down and pull a lever for them. And then when they're done with your vote, they'll go back to just their special interests. It's just so it's difficult for me. I don't like to just sit here and say, you know, liberalism is a mental disease. I think liberalism, in a lot of cases, a lot of people on the left, I think they have an economic misunderstanding of things. And I think the case to be made for real capitalism, not what we've seen. I don't blame anybody who's mad at the financial system right now and seeing these oligarchs we've created in this country. But that wasn't created by capitalism. That was created by your government. Your government and the Federal Reserve has created this overclass of the billionaire donor class in this country. It wasn't capitalism. Some people get wealthy, but they don't get $200 billion unless they've got their beak in with a bunch of politicians in the government. That's the class I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the 1%. I'm talking about the 0.01% that's really made it more difficult for everybody else. I talk on this show all the time about how much harder it is in this country now. I don't say it like, give up. We need to elect more people to fix it all for us. I'm just telling you, they're screwing you. Both parties, they're screwing you. Neither one of these parties talk about the Federal Reserve and how the Federal Reserve creates the income inequality. They just talk about income inequality, like they're going to fix it. Well, if they're not talking about dismantling the Federal Reserve, then they're not ever going to fix it, because that is the cause of it. Well, anyway, I'm about to come back. Tucker Carlson did a little segment last night. Democrats and this radical wing of the Democratic Party has accomplished something that I did not think possible. I mean, seriously, I'll tell you what it is after the break. They have done something that I could not have even foreseen anybody being able to accomplish. Now, it's not good for them, but somehow they have accomplished the impossible with the radical turn the left has taken. Look, if you're a Democrat and a thinking liberal and you disagree with me on some things, you think the government needs to step in and fix a bunch of stuff, and I can have a conversation with you. What's going on the left right now has nothing to do with talking things out or, you know, the marketplace of ideas. It's unbridled hate and anger, and it is going to backfire on you. And like I say, what the left has done just in the last 2 days is something I never thought possible, but somehow they've done it. I'll get to that when we come back. Stay with me.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. You can always reach me, Mike Madison, at WYAB.com, too, if you have information to share with me. I missed some things. I get some good tips from listeners, so I appreciate that. Or if you want to tell me I got my head firmly planted up somewhere that you don't appreciate, you can tell me that, too. It doesn't really matter. The left right now is kind of cracking me up. Now, I'm working under this assumption, and nothing is dissuading me of this right now, which is that the Democrats are trying to hand the election to Donald Trump. I don't know exactly why. It's just I almost cannot fathom that with all of the political machinery of the Democratic Party, and they know how to get power. I don't like the ideas that come out of the Democratic Party at all, but they know how to get power. They've done it for years. Decades. And the way they are just trying to hand this election to Donald Trump, something's not right. It doesn't add up. I mean, I know this is, people are going to say, yes, they can, but I say, I don't think they can be this stupid. Maybe I'm underestimating them. Maybe it is just, you know, when you act out of emotion, you just make huge mistakes. I mean, that's just, it's pretty well known. You know, if something tragic has happened in your life, or you don't make immediately life-changing decisions. You know, you need a chance to cool down and get your wits about you and all that stuff. I think the left right now has just gotten completely hysterical, and they're driven entirely by emotion, and not the good emotions, not the love emotion that they tell everybody they're about. It's about this hate. The left has done something that I never thought possible. I would say the popularity of Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham on the left is maybe, I'll give them 1%. Maybe 1% of Democrats and people on the left maybe like Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham for some reason. I'd just say 1%. It's somewhere between 0 and 1%. On the Republican side, I would say at least probably, what, 80 to 85% of Republicans don't like Lindsey Graham and Mitch McConnell. That is why Donald Trump was elected, because Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham are the establishment of the Republican Party. As much as particularly Lindsey Graham has groveled to Donald Trump and tried to ride his coattails, he's still a warmongering little weasel establishment neocon Republican. And people rejected that whole ideology back in 2016 when they elected Donald Trump. Somehow the left has been able to make Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham sympathetic characters. You actually can make people cheer and feel sorry for Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham because you guys have lost your minds so much.
Alternative argument at the ready, and that's one they've been honing all year.
I literally Googled best online.
Killing me. You're killing me, YouTube. That's my fault. I'm using them. All right, let's get this. Is Tucker Carlson talking about the left's reaction to what they were doing to Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham when it comes to this Supreme Court thing.
It goes like this. Do what we want or we will hurt you. That's the real argument they're making. Reza Aslan, a longtime CNN employee, wrote this in the hours after Ginsburg died. Quote, if they even try to replace RBG, we burn the entire effing thing down. That effing thing being our country that we built.
I would say that tweet alone from that guy created, 500 new Republicans.
On Friday night, another Democrat tweeted instructions for how to begin that process. Quote, we're now walking to Mitch McConnell's house to protest. More than 120,000 people liked that post, shockingly. The follow-up came a few minutes later. Quote, his house is entirely dark, significant police presence out front. It's not clear that he's here. It's clear that he's not here, as confirmed by a neighbor who is not fond of him. People are going home. That's not a protest. That's a threat. The point of it was to terrorize Mitch McConnell and his family. McConnell knew it was coming because that's how things seem to work now. The police guarding his house are probably the only reason it's still standing. Watch. We shouldn't be surprised by that. It was just last year that another group of Democrats gathered outside Mitch McConnell's home chanting death threats. It was all on video. We put up with it, of course, so it's happened again. You get what you put up with. That's true of children. It's true of countries. And we're putting up with this, so we shouldn't be surprised. Who's doing it? Well, Trump voters are fascists, they tell us. But when was the last time Trump voters threatened Democratic politicians in their home? It's hard to recall that happening. No. The tactics are always the same, and it's always the same people doing it. Then, in case Mitch McConnell didn't get the message, Biden voters assemble at the home of Senator Lindsey Graham. Graham chairs the Senate Judiciary Committee. They wanted to honor Ruth Bader Ginsburg's dying wish by making sure that Graham was intimidated. Watch. These aren't spontaneous demonstrations. No, of course not. They're organized on social media, and they're happening for a reason. The Democratic Party has encouraged this extremism over and over and over again. Nightly, we tell you about it. But it never ends. It gets worse. Last night, the Senate Majority Leader, Chuck Schumer of New York, held a press conference targeting Mitch McConnell by name. Hard to imagine that, but it happened. And Schumer invited Sandy Cortez, a first-term congresswoman from the Bronx. Here's what they said.
If you want to get back at Mitch McConnell's blatant, nasty hypocrisy, call your senator and tell them not to listen to Mitch McConnell, not to be afraid of Mitch McConnell.
And to Mitch McConnell, we need to tell him that he is playing with fire.
We need to tell him that he is playing with fire. Really? That's a threat. And on Instagram, Sandy Cortez, America's most pampered revolutionary, went ahead and suggested that Democrats go further, maybe even embrace violence. Watch.
Let this moment radicalize you. We need to focus on voting for Joe Biden. I don't care if you like him or not. This is not over. You know, we win in November. I'm sorry to tell you, you're not going back to brunch. We're not going back to brunch. That's not happening.
We're not going back to brunch.
It's stunning to me. You made Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham look sympathetic. That is a Herculean task, because basically nobody in this entire country really likes them. Apparently some people in Kentucky and South Carolina continue voting for these people. But you have made two of the least popular men in the country of the United States actually sympathetic. And here's what is just absolutely amazing to me when I look at what's going on the left right now. Again, I may be the naive one, because I think they must be trying to hand this election over to Donald Trump. Again, I haven't really fleshed out exactly why. I've got some suspicions. They know that we're in some economic trouble. They're hoping that when this thing does collapse, and it will, I don't know if it'll be tomorrow or next year or 10 years from now. I don't know, but we're on an unsustainable path financially. Maybe they think it's coming and they want to lay this around Trump's neck so that they can really come in with some socialism, because when we have another economic crisis, it's going to make 2008 look like a cakewalk. And there's going to be a lot of people hurting, and there's going to be a lot of people demanding free stuff from the government, and this is when socialists really bloom. And so maybe that's their plan. I do not put that past them. But here's how bad the left is. They've had winning issue after winning issue this year, and they've decided to actually flip it into a losing issue. The more radical they get, the more popular Donald Trump gets. All it took was a bunch of riots for Donald Trump's approval rating to come out of the basement and start peeking its head up right heading into the election because of the radical left. They could have ridden the pandemic to victory. I mean, we just had a pandemic. Now, notwithstanding all of the problems with all of the numbers and the ridiculous lockdowns and all that stuff, the bottom line is the accepted narrative to the vast majority of people in this country right now is that we're under some severe pandemic right now, and the Democrats could have ridden that to victory. They could have ridden George Floyd and Breonna Taylor to victory. A lot of people saw the George Floyd thing, and I got to tell you, if you hear the Breonna Taylor story, that's where the real crime is, and it's something that libertarians are especially good at, this idea of a no-knock warrant where people, for nonviolent drug offenses, they bust down doors in the middle of the morning and run in heavily armed with a SWAT team. Again, SWAT raids have gone in 1980 from 3,000 a year up to something like 85,000 SWAT raids a year on private residences now. I don't know if that's an exact figure, but it is that stark of a difference. That is a problem. Libertarians don't like that. The Breonna Taylor thing should be a rallying cry to not only the black community, but to everybody who says enough of this ridiculous militarized style police that kicked down a door for a nonviolent crime. Regardless of what you think about drugs, and they shot a woman because they were at the wrong address, and shot and gun owners should be taking up for Breonna husband's boyfriend, or I don't think she was married. I think it was boyfriend who shot at the police. He was armed and he thought his house was being broken into by a gang. Anyway, you've taken those issues where people were sympathetic when they saw the George Floyd thing, white, black, young, old, rich, poor, were all pretty outraged to see the actual death of a human being on camera over the course of 9 minutes, the tragic story of Breonna Taylor, where you had kind of everybody on your side, and somehow you turned it into an issue that has turned off everybody. You lost near everybody except for the radicals on your side and pushed them right back to Republicans and to Donald Trump. You could regain your senses on the left and blame Trump for allowing Fauci to shut down our country and boost unemployment, all the people that are out of work. And again, you could have ridden to victory in 2020, but instead you did the exact opposite and you got on the side of crushing businesses and crushing civil liberties, all because you're so scared of the virus. And you just have this deranged hatred of Donald Trump, and you have to think that this is all his fault. You have to act like he's not taking it seriously enough or whatever other narrative you've done. Every single thing the left has done this year with issue after issue, we have huge unemployment in this country right now, a terrible economy. Regardless of what Trump says, he's not being honest with his supporters when he says, oh, we're booming back and next year is going to be the greatest of all times. I mean, come on. If you believe that, are you serious? Are you kidding me? The left has been handed this election on basically a bit of a silver platter. And they decided instead to turn it over and throw it. to take that platter and slam it to the ground out of anger. And to the minority groups or other groups that are lashing out about Trump, about this on the Supreme Court, I would say to women, to black community, and any other groups that think they've been convinced to be constant victims, that you're just helpless without help from your government, I would say, are you really that weak? You're really that weak that you needed an 87-year-old Jewish woman to help you succeed in this country? Conservative courts typically will protect our freedoms to a slight degree better than left-wing courts do. I know there's the pro-choice issue to a lot of people on the left, but if you're interested in actually just keeping your rights and remaining free, you shouldn't be so freaked out by a conservative court because they're a little bit better guardians. Not that great in my estimation, but a little bit better than a left-wing Supreme Court, even through your eyes, I would think. But anyway, I got to tell you, it is amazing to me to see. I think the Democrats are trying to lose this thing. You don't put up a Joe Biden, particularly with his state of mental health right now, and then you don't have a vice president from California, a state the Democrats were already going to win, with an unpopular person. Kamala Harris is not popular within the Democratic Party. Liberals do not like, true liberals, the real leftists, do not like Kamala Harris. She's a law and order candidate. They are trying to throw this thing, but the boomerang effect that you are having. Look, if you can make Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham seem like sympathetic characters, which is what you've done over the last 2 days, I got to tell you, you are on the wrong path if you ever want to win anything. I'll be right back. All night
with the King. Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
All right, final segment for today's show. Trump apparently went to the UN today and really blasted China for the China virus. I got to tell you, I'm a little mystified of where we stand on this thing. Where are we today on this? Trump says that if he hadn't shut down the borders, if he hadn't shut down flights coming in from China, we would have lost 2 million more people would have died of coronavirus. Really? I kind of get the sense that we're finding out that coronavirus is not near the threat that we thought it was. Is that where we landed, or is it somehow am I supposed to keep in my brain two different, completely opposite beliefs? On one side, I'm supposed to look at the numbers, which I do, and see that the vast majority of deaths had the average of, what, 2.6% comorbidities, that it was most likely majority of people dying from particularly old age-related diseases who just happened to have COVID. Aren't we seeing that? Aren't a lot of thinking people questioning this whole idea that the lockdowns are necessary and that this is as deadly as they try to make it seem? So I've got that belief in my head. It's already there. That's my evidence shows that. And again, on my gab.com page, it talks about the over counting of cases, the flaw in the testing, the rates of error just in the testing to give false positives. So in my mind, coronavirus is, we've had a wild overreaction to that. It is not very deadly at all, particularly to people that are under 75 years old. I'll give you maybe 70 or 65. I don't know where the numbers land, but this is not some horrible. So if I've got that, how do I say that Trump closing off some plane flights saved 2 million lives, because I don't think those 2 million lives were ever in any danger, flights or no flights. It's funny. It's just one of these little tricks of politicians. They can get you to believe two things that are diametrically opposed at the same time, and for some reason it seems to work with the majority of people. There's a story also out that was out yesterday. CIA says Russia is denigrating Joe Biden. They're worried, the CIA and our intelligence services again. I love this. I'm going to go ahead and read the story. Russian President Vladimir Putin and his top aides are, quote, probably directing, unquote, a Russian foreign influence operation to interfere in the 2020 presidential election against former Vice President Joe Biden, which involves a prominent Ukrainian lawmaker connected to President Trump's personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, a top secret CIA assessment concluded, according to two sources who reviewed it. That top secret's not really working for him there in that case, is it? No, of course not. They want this out there. Your intelligence service is always trying to gin up a new war and a new hostility to justify their existence. Man, there were several good presidents who wanted to smash the CIA. I wish they had gotten their chance to do it. On August 31st, the CIA published an assessment of Russian efforts to interfere in the November elections in an internal, highly classified report called the CIA Worldwide Intelligence Review. The sources said, CIA analysts compiled the assessment with input from the National Security Agency and the FBI based on several dozen pieces of information gleaned from public, unclassified, and classified intelligence sources. I'm getting to the funny part. Quote, we assess that President Vladimir Putin and the senior most Russian officials are aware of and probably directing Russia's influence operations aimed at denigrating the former U.S. vice president, supporting the U.S. president, and fueling public discord ahead of the U.S. election in November, the first line of the document says, according to the sources. So your intelligence service is giving you another Russia hysteria story. Look, do we need Russia really to tell us that Joe Biden is not up to the task of being president of the United States? Is this really the tipping point here? Oh, Lord have mercy. We are so captive to this stupid government. It is just unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. Are the Russians probably meddling around in our election? Do they want to have a word in who gets elected? Yep. We do it to every country on the planet, probably. It's particularly if we have interest or they have natural resources. England does it. Spain does it. Every government out there has got a squad of hackers and social media warriors that go out there and try to manipulate opinion. But what cracks me up more than anything else is the United States foreign policy is actually, if we don't like who you elect, we will actually send our army over there. We'll invade your country and we'll rip your leadership out by the roots. But don't pay attention to that. That's not election interference. Only what the Russians are doing on Facebook is. That's all the time I got. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't.